I want to start with a question this morning. What do you think is more important? Is it telling people the gospel or living a godly life amongst them? You know, I know someone who left a job after 5 years. At his farewell party, one of his friends stood up and made a speech. He said, "Jeff, we all agree that you're the most likable person with the most integrity and patience that we've ever met. Isn't that a wonderful thing to be said of you?" But then he said something that made Jeff feel as a Christian that he'd missed a 5-year-long opportunity. We were trying to work out what made you so different. We decided you must be a Buddhist. Now, there was another person who worked for a travel company. He did tell everyone that he was a Christian. But they all knew that he, like everyone else, cheated on his expenses. So what do you think? What do you think is more important? Is it telling people the gospel or living a godly life amongst them? Well, today we're thinking about the place of words and deeds in the Christian life. Words and deeds. Let's do this by asking the question, how should I live for Christ? How should I live for Christ? What does that mean, friends? Well, Paul writes to the Philippians. That's what I'll be speaking from this morning, Philippians chapter 2. He writes to the Philippians from prison. He's writing to people who are struggling. There is persecution. There is suffering. And there may even be division. Paul wants them to live lives that are worthy of the gospel. To do this, their motivation is none other than the love and example of Christ himself. And let's read these wonderful words again. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. And note this, he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant. In the passage that was read, Paul says we're to shine like lights, like stars in the universe as we hold out the word of life. In other words, we do it by telling people about Jesus. What does it mean to live for Christ? Paul says it's about shining like lights. It's about telling people about Jesus. But it's not just that. It's also about living the gospel. Lights shine out in the darkness. And that's the way Christians should be. We should stand out from the world around us. The gospel should stand out in every part of our lives, not just what we say. That's why Paul says in verse 14, we should do everything without complaining. For the Philippians couldn't stand out from the world if they were complaining and arguing just like everyone else. Well, things haven't changed, have they? We love to complain. Let me tell you a bit about myself. I'm from an English background. And as you know, the stereotype is that the English love to complain. Here are some examples of genuine complaints from some English tourists who travelled to Jamaica. No one told us there would be fish in the sea. Our children were scared. There was no air conditioning outside. It was too hot. And here's my favourite. It took us 9 hours to get here, but it only took the Americans 3 hours. We love complaining, don't we? Just like Israelites in the desert. We grumble. We grumble against our leaders. Surely not.
Surely not.
we grumble against the government, and we may even grumble against God. But Christians, Paul says, are not to be like this. For we are like this, it's not going to be hard for our family and our friends and our neighbours and our work colleagues to see that Jesus is not making a difference in our lives. Right? But if we stand out from the crowd, if we shine like lights, then the gospel shines too. So then let's ask this question: where does the power to shine like lights come from? Well, Paul tells us, doesn't he? In these amazing verses, in verses 12 and 13. Therefore, dear friends, just as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how much more in my absence? Note what he says it here. Work out your salvation, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work within you, enabling you to will and act for his good purpose. Did you see two things working together in those verses? Verse 12, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, you work. But then verse 13, for it is God who works in you to will and act according to his good purpose. In other words, God works. Now, this isn't a miscalculation. Paul intended to write this. When we look at things from our perspective, let's do that. We're making decisions. We're fighting against sin. We're living out for Christ. We're looking out for others. But all the time you're doing it, it is God who is actually working through you and in you to make it all happen. And often it's only as when we look back that we can see what God has been doing. That's been my experience. Has that been yours? Only as we look back, as he works through me to change my will so I could work for his good pleasure. And that's not a small thing, is it? The fact that God is working, that God himself is working through you, should motivate you to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, our salvation can work its way out in lots of ways, can't it? Because obeying Christ should make a difference in how we live. How should I live the Christian life? What does that mean for you and for me? It means that as we work out our salvation, it'll be visible in the way we speak to people. It'll be visible in our homes and where we work and in our communities. It'll be visible in how we use our time and our money. It'll be visible in how we welcome strangers, people we don't know. Are we people like that? Are we like that? Who point others to Jesus in the way we live, shining like lights, like stars, as we hold out the word of truth. Australia is increasingly more secular. That's a fact. Census demonstrates it, and we observe that reality lived out everywhere, don't we? It's less likely that people will walk into church. It's less likely they'll join the church gathered. So as the church scattered, we need to be better equipped to engage on a one-on-one level with people. So here are some questions we can ask ourselves as a community and ask ourselves as Christians. Do you enjoy meeting with people and hearing their stories? In other words, are you curious about people? Are you fascinated by them? Are we keen to ask questions and hear their answers? Are we keen to suspend judgment and walk a mile in their shoes? And as they share their stories, are we thinking about how God's big story connects with their story? Because it does, and it will. It's designed to. Wouldn't it be great if the church gathered, invested more time in cultivating these skills and competencies among its members? Wouldn't it be great if Christians were better equipped to shine like stars out there in the world? So when people look at us, when they look at you and me, when they look at us, what do they see? Do they see this care, this concern, this love? Do they see people not too busy for relationships? Do they see Christians being hospitable and eager to tell the gospel? Do they see a warm, welcoming and vibrant community? Which brings me to CMS. The Church Missionary Society, which has been in existence for well over 220 years, would love to assist you in this ministry of shining like stars as you hold out the word of life. We'd like to assist you locally in terms of local cross-cultural mission and globally in terms of global cross-cultural mission. Locally in cross-cultural mission, we're keen to develop your skills and your competencies, including your awareness of how to reach out to and connect with people from other cultural backgrounds. That's why we run events and conferences like the Melbourne Dinner and Summer Under the Sun. It's where you can engage with missionaries and return missionaries like myself who are keen to share their cross-cultural insights with you and help you to apply them in your local situation. But we're also very thankful for your involvement and in your investment in local mission. And we think primarily of the Mackenzies. And I was chatting with them this week, and I'm very pleased to be able to say thank you on their behalf, but to also give you a very practical update. So, for instance, they are so thrilled and so thankful for people like Alison Burgess and others, undoubtedly, in this congregation, who pray and care and give to their work in the Northern Territory with our Indigenous brothers and sisters. They've asked you to pray in very particular ways for them at this moment. They want you to pray for them as they come off a long and hard wet season. What does that mean? That means they've been reined in and isolated since November last year. Just imagine that. But they're also asking that you would pray for them as they come out of the wet season into a busy, dry season, that the gospel would remain central in their focus and in their relationships. Pray for Steph as she homeschools Zeke. And pray for a team of a dozen or so young adults that CMS is sending up there to assist the Northern Territory Clergy Conference and their children's ministry conference. Pray that those young adults would get an insight and have the ability to deeply reflect on outreach and cross-cultural mission amongst our Indigenous brothers and sisters, that their lives would be transformed as they think about not just themselves, but how the gospel is good news for everybody. And the Mackenzies have also asked that, and they're praying that you would think about and cultivate an interest in Indigenous people who live on the Mornington Peninsula. What might that involve? Working out who they are, where they gather, what their story is, how you might support them and take a greater interest for the sake of this reconciling gospel in their situation. That's what they're praying for you at a local level. So that's local mission. A couple of instances of what it might look like. Investing in your own skills as cross-cultural workers. Cultivating curiosity for Indigenous brothers and sisters who live around you in this area on the Mornington Peninsula. But there is also an investment in global mission. We'd love to continue to encourage you and thank you for your involvement in global mission. We're praying that Mount Eliza will send workers to the Northern Territory or long-term gospel workers overseas. For sending people is a great contribution to God's plans for the nations. It's also a powerful faith statement that as you send your best and your brightest, you believe that God will replace them and bless you spiritually as people step up and use their gifts and their convictions in you in different ways. So please see, there is a link between local spiritual vitality and global mission. One depends on the other, and the other depends on that wider perspective. But above all, with today's message in mind, CMS continues to pray, as I'm sure you're praying, that you will shine like stars as you hold out the word of life, as you point people to the risen Lord Jesus. Thank you so much for inviting me, and I look forward to meeting with you after the service over a cuppa. And please, I'm a bit of an extrovert. You can come and ask me anything you like. Amen.